Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats. This is a podcast for women over 40 who are looking for sane and frank advice about their health and wellness, especially through menopause. I'm Amanda Thebe, the original resilient bitch and menopause guru. In my work as a personal trainer and nutrition coach, and through my own personal experience, it became obvious to me information about menopause and this curious phase of our life was so ridiculously hard to find. And that's why I started this podcast. Join me every week as I speak to health and wellness experts on hot topics that directly impact you. I've made it my mission to help you by exploding a few myths, presenting you with the facts, and hoping to inspire you to be a healthy, strong person just like me. If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a review. Then go and tell your friends, and then go and tell your husband, and then tell the neighbor, and then don't forget to visit me at fitandchips.com. And now let's get started on today's show. This week on the show, I'm speaking to Katarina Wilk, who comes all the way from Sweden. Katarina is a health and medical journalist, and she's the author of a book called Perimenopower. I've read Perimenopower. It's a fantastic book. And the reason Katarina wrote this book is because in her role as a health and medicine journalist, she'd never heard of half of the symptoms that were happening to her. And so through personal experiences and then really, really extensive research, she's pulled together this book that talks about sleep, yoga, natural supplements, diet, exercise, and then estrogen. Estrogen, the superhuman hormone that we all lose during menopause and that can have a really great impact on our hormonal swings. So enjoy this conversation with Katarina. It's really, really useful. And in addition to this, her book is fantastic. So I highly recommend you go on that up. Enjoy. Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, Katarina Wilk, all the way from Sweden. Hello.
Thank you, Amanda. I'm so happy to be here.
So now we're doing something unusual today. It took us about 10 minutes to get ourselves set up, but Katarina and I are actually live on Instagram Live at the same time. So I'm going to try not to do too many visuals as we talk, but the idea is we're going to talk about Katarina's new book called Perimenopower. It's beautiful. Look at the color and look at the design of that if you're online. So great. Now, we started following each other on Instagram. We've never met in person. We're seeing each other for the first time. Beautiful, lovely, Swedish woman in front of you.
Thanks.
Katarina, why did you write this book?
I wrote the book because I had like severe symptoms of the perimenopause. And as I am a medical writer and didn't know anything about it and started to research and realized that it's so hard to find something about this menopause thing. So I thought I can, as a medical writer, help all the women to realize what's happening in their bodies and what they can do about it. Because I thought that if I cannot find anything, any information about this, how could common women do that? I mean, I'm really into medicine and health. So that's why I had
to. You had the most amazing platform, right? Already you had the experience.
Yeah.
So you were like, the information is so difficult to find. So Katarina, I felt the same thing, and I didn't come from it from being a medical writer, which is like your expertise. And you can tell by the way that you write the book that you have a good understanding of the medical terminology, but you've actually made this very digestible for people. We can, everyday folk, like you say, can pick this book up, read it and understand it. It's what we need. But what my most frustrating thing was about going through menopause is not only could I not find any information, I actually couldn't find anybody that understood what the hell was going wrong with me, because I was very unwell for about 2 years before I got some answers. And then I had to try and find out the best solutions for me. And even that wasn't so straightforward. By myself. And that's right. That's why I've written my book. My book isn't out until next year, but this is, we have this common bond and we need to talk about it. And so why do you think this? What the hell is going on? Why can't we find this information?
I think the problem is that as menopause is not an illness. I mean, you go to the doctor and you go there because you're sick. So they want to put you on a diagnose. When I went the first time to my medical center, my doctor was like, yeah, I think you are a bit depressed. Or maybe.
No shit, Sherlock.
And I was like, no, I'm not depressed. I can't sleep. Please help me. So I think knowledge in the medical center is very low. And here in Sweden, even the doctors, when they go to school, they don't study this. Not even the gynecologist has this like a class in school, in medical school. So how can, I mean...
That's true then in Europe. In gynecology, yes. They don't study menopause.
No, they do not study menopause as a sole problem. Of course, they study like when you come to puberty and then when you are pregnant and PMS, blah, blah, blah. But the menopause is not like an issue for them because they don't think it's severe enough. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And I know that in the UK, I've been speaking to people there, they believe that they said the same thing. There's a wonderful woman who's organizing something called Menopause Matters. She's actually written to her local, you know about it, right? She's written to her local MP. She's trying to just get education about menopause, spoken about in the schools. I mean, for me, I know it sounds really lame to say, let's teach our kids about menopause, but seriously, they don't learn anything. Now, like behind me is my kids and anatomy and physiology. So that's what he's doing in school. And I'm like, oh, so cool. That's like my gig. I'll do this with you. And I was looking through the reproductive system and it stops after pregnancy. It doesn't even mention menopause is something. And so this is in schools. And so for me, even just to have the word in the documentation, even just to say, and this is what's going to happen after reproductive years, this happened. Because it's a big chunk of our lives, and any men that listen to this show and any sort of like younger trainers or younger people who haven't experienced this yet, somebody in your life is going to, and somebody in your life is going to need information and going to need help, because then as they continue into their second half of their life, like up, I mean, the average age in North America, I think is 78. I'm going to live to like 102, but so still I know that these like years, I'm still in menopause until the day I die.
I know. And you know, 100 years ago, we died when we couldn't have
kids. I love saying that. That's like my fact. We were born, we had babies, we died.
Yeah. And then we die. It's like, how is that possible? So that's also the big information lack. I mean, we are not meant to be here anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And so I love that you've sort of like found the same information as me, but I also am really sad that that's the state of affairs.
Of course.
It's shocking. And I also know that like women are reading this book now and going, holy crap, really? Like, I didn't even realize this was a thing. One of the things that we all talk about through menopause is the list of symptoms, because not that we were trying to dwell on like the woe is me element of menopause, but it isn't just the like a single event that happens. And I think that the misconception there drives me crazy. I'm just clicking through her book now to find the list of symptoms. So one of the myths and misconceptions is, you know, a woman goes through menopause, click your fingers, there you go, you're in menopause right now, as of this state, you're going to get hot flashes and boom, get over it. Yeah. What bullshit. That drives me crazy. Now, I'm holding the book up to the people who are watching on Instagram. We've got a decent number of people. That's a list of Katarina's symptoms there, which are, it can range from anything from 16 to 36 symptoms. It's crazy. They can last for like 10 years. For me, it's been 10 years. 10 fucking awful years, actually.
Eight for me, yes.
Eight, yeah. And we're tough, we're resilient. I'm not a wimp. I don't like whinge and moan about illnesses, but this knocked me sideways.
Yeah, me too. It knocked me so badly. And you're into a very interesting thing here, because it's not that it's so many symptoms. It's also that it can start already from 35 plus. And the information that goes out, I mean, even in Sweden on like really serious websites, it says that the menopause is something that is happening a year or maybe two before your period stops. Excuse me, what a bullshit. Yeah. It starts 10 to 15 years before your menses stop, and then it can continue 10 years after. So we're talking about like maybe 10 or 15 years of our lives. Isn't that, I mean,
important enough to recognize? It's not recognized. And, you know, that sort of leads us onto the whole like feeling invisible and unimportant and also bothering doctors, like going to them. And women don't like to complain. I don't care if the men are listening. We don't genuinely like to complain about our own health, but when something's persistent for that long, it can impact our quality of life to such an extreme that women do end up with depression and a poor quality of life. And I also know women that are into their like 60s and 70s that still have hot flashes. There are still symptomatic things of losing estrogen that may not be considered like menopausal, but they're postmenopausal, like the atrophy that can occur.
Yeah.
And so there's issues associated with women losing hormones that are just not discussed. And I am like, I always say I'm like knee deep and tits high in this stuff. Like I literally, I've got so much stuff to read. I just don't know where to turn. And so there's so much information out there that I'm struggling to keep on top of. And you and I are writing books about the thing, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
And there's still so much information. So why is it not out there?
I know. I think it's something happening right now. I mean, all around the world, there's something happening. It's like we finally raise our voices about this too. Here in Sweden, we have like this big hype. We have books coming, we have TV shows, we have podcasts, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's coming, but we're not there yet. And I really hope the next generation, our daughters, I don't have a daughter, I have two sons, but the daughters to the mothers right now, they will have it easier than we have. And it will be because of you and me who are doing this, who are like spreading the word and letting people know that this is something that happens to so many women. Let's just talk about it.
Yeah, and the thing is as well is, like you say, I have two boys as well. But then they're hopefully going to have maybe wives, partners, but they may have daughters. Like it's just an awareness thing. And so for me, it's an education exercise.
Yes.
And if nothing else comes of these books that we're writing, it's that women then can say, I think that what this probably is the menopause.
Yes.
I think that this is probably something I can go to the doctors and say, you know, this is what's happening. I need help. I'm not prepared to walk away from here with a diagnosis of, oh, go away, you'll get over it when you feel stuck or some other crap line that is dismissive. It's not helpful. And it's just so tiresome being that woman who doesn't want to bother the doctor. Like it's,
I know.
The momentum is slowly happening here. I feel as though Europe is way ahead of us. Go figure. being European deep in my heart that like, I see it. And the thing is what's happening is everyone from Europe is like, see that I'm doing it and we're all connecting. I love that we're all, there's like no competition. We're all like in this game together, which I love.
We should.
But it's slow to evolve over here. It's definitely. Hi, Joe Fitness is. I'm just completely distracted by my Instagram feed. but it's slowly happening. But it's still one of those subject matters that people do the whole eye roll at, and I'm like, I don't care now. At first, I was a little bit reticent about like being this a subject that I talked about when I've been so entrenched in fitness and wellness and exercise and nutrition for so long. But it's all intertwined. It is part of the puzzle. It's not separate. Yeah. And the fact is, we know if you don't carry as much weight, if you have better lifestyle factors like not smoking and not drinking too much, I don't say abstinence, like a little tipple now and again is fine. But like all of those lifestyle factors, movement, strength as you lead into the dropping estrogen and your osteoporosis, all of these things are so, so important to our overall health. And they can also make the symptomatic side of menopause less impactful. So therefore then I'm like, I'm just gonna like do it. And you know what, it was the best thing I did because I'm still living it day to day.
Yeah.
It's raising more conversation. People may or may not follow me anymore. I actually don't care about that because what is really important to me now is this conversation now is just exploding.
Yeah.
And so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that the North America does catch up with Europe.
I hope so.
And then hopefully I'll catch up with the fashion as well.
And I keep up with your, how do you say, with your, when you lift your weights. How do you do that? I mean, you are so strong, Amanda.
I love being strong, but you know, I suppose, you know, that's something I talk about in my book, is that like the exercise isn't just about feeling strong and lifting weights. The domino effect of that, as most of the people who are listening to the show now online are coaches, I can see, they can attest to the fact that the domino effect of exercising is more than just like a lean body mass or just being metabolically more efficient. It's just like power to the women. We're going to take over the world, as you know, and resilience and strength carries over into so many elements of your life, like relationships and family life and work, careers, blah, blah, blah. So we know that. So for me, the reason I am so strong is because, one, I've done it since I was a kid. It's my thing. Like,
okay.
So consistency trumps everything. Like, honestly, consistency trumps everything. But it's never too late. And I have women that have started with me at 60 years old, 65 year old. It doesn't matter. You can just, like, to me, just do something that makes you move, makes you feel good. I'm reading a book by somebody called James Fell, and it hasn't been released now, but it's called The Holy Shit Moment. He's actually going to be coming on the podcast, and it's all about epiphanies. Even though, like, the slow, steady, habitual type things work and make lasting change, it's that we all need that, like, light bulb moment to say, when is enough enough? And when do we, like, make the change into, like, doing something proactive about our health? And he talks about this woman who was overweight, lived on fast food, sedentary, blah-de-blah-de-blah. And she picked up a fencing sword and started fencing, and then ended up and it just completely transformed her life. And it was like, she just needed, that was her epiphany. She just needed to do something.
Cool.
I don't care what you do, just like find something. It's really interesting because while we're talking now, Joe Fitness PT, who we both follow each other on Instagram, has just said, totally, I think that when we prioritize ourselves, we get more clarity in other areas of our life. And exercise does a lot for that. And for her,
that's
for me, and for so many women,
that's so true.
So I'd like to just shift the topic, because I mean, we haven't really spoken about the book. We're just we're generalizing, and I have openly said to Katerina that I haven't had time to read the book in full, because she was so excited to come on. She like literally booked. I've only just picked the book up, but it's wonderful. The bits I've read about it are wonderful. They're very clear. One of the areas of the book I would love to talk about is HRT.
Yes.
Now, hormone replacement therapy has been given a bad rap for so long. I talk about it myself. I've researched it. I actually am not on HRT, but it's only because at the moment, symptomatically, I'm coping very well. And I'm also menopausal. I also don't have it at my period.
Okay.
But I know the benefits of it now. I know where all of the information came from that scared women. And I think that's where we should start. We were scared. I remember having a conversation with my mom saying, you are not going on HRT.
I know.
So can you just tell a little story and tell us what we know?
Well, the problem is with HRT, and the HRT your mom took is not the HRT we have today, 2018. There was this big study, WHI study, World Health Initiative, that came 2002. And it was like a very strange moment in the world, because when the study came out telling you that if you take HRT, you will get cancer, the whole world stopped at the exact same moment taking HRT. What you can see after this study is that you could see that the age when women die, you could see it was like growing. And then when the study came, suddenly it was not growing anymore. Today, I went to my gynecologist just for checkup, and she said to me that in the future, I think that doctors will prescribe HRT even if the women don't have any symptoms. Why is that?
Estrogen for longevity.
Yes, because when you are diabetic, what do you get? You get insulin. So when you have an estrogen lack in your body, what should you do? Maybe you should take estrogen. When this study came, the world stopped with estrogen, and then they tried to do like a new sort of estrogen, which is called bioidentical estrogen. And that is the thing. Now we have studies that when you take this, it's not that it will help you with your symptoms. I just got a study today that it will prolong your life. That is really, really interesting. It will make you less affected by heart cardiac problems. It will get you less affected by colon cancer. Yes. These are studies which everyone can find and read. So I'm not like doing this up here. So it's like that. But still we have this fear. But the fear is because everyone thinks it will get, you'll have breast cancer.
It thinks that women think that HRT will kill them. And I think what we know as well is that, you know, the study was ultimately flawed. And even some of the researchers who did the study wrote scathing reports afterwards. This study was released without us even reviewing the draft. We weren't ready for this study to be released.
No.
And when the study has been reviewed, and there's a great book called Estrogen Matters, which I've read.
Yeah, I have to read that.
It's a wonderful book. And there's tons of other research out there. But basically, they know that like the significance of taking HRT, it does not cause breast cancer. We know that for sure. And that the lifestyle factors are more likely to cause your death than HRT.
Physical active.
It's significantly so small, it's almost not worth talking about. And so we've been scared. And so you talk about in your book, which is one of the things I read and went, oh my God, that's so good. It's how we are akin to focusing on risk factors.
Yeah.
We don't focus on the good, we focus on the bad. We can't let them go. Even when people are telling us it's now safe. Unless you're in a risk category where you
can't. Of course.
Like if you're in a situation where estrogen in your body isn't receptive very well, then your doctor will help you with that. But
one thing is that if you had breast cancer, maybe you should not go on HRT. Then you should discuss it with your doctors. I know that some doctors say you can, but you should be like, under strict control from your doctors. But
contraindication. And then in that stage, there's other alternatives. If like women are going through breast cancer and they've had like and depression or hot flashes, some antidepressants can be prescribed. There's other alternatives out there that can help with symptomatic sides of breast cancer.
The thing is, when you say the antidepressants, that is also really interesting because in some cases, this is also being studied. In some cases, you can see that even if you have a depression and you get on antidepressants, in some cases, that won't help until you put estrogen in.
Exactly.
Because the depression is like estrogen lacking or something. So I mean, I understand that women take antidepressants and they have to if they have a depression. But you should be very, very aware of that your doc might make you believe that you are in a depression, but maybe you're not.
We know that estrogen fluctuations, estrogen is like sort of like known as our happy hormone. So as soon as that is fluctuating, our ability to cope in general is lessened. And then our progesterone is our anti-anxiety calming. So that like mixture of a mess that's happening can completely impact our mood. But I was just talking about the breast cancer things. Just know that there is options out there for them. And even controlled HRT is an option for them. But they do have to have a current forward-thinking medical practitioner that is reading the studies like we are. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm literally, when things are coming out, reading them and interpreting them as a layman's researcher.
Yeah, for sure.
But the facts are there. And then the other thing as well about... you know, the estrogen as well, is that they're now, like you say, even if a lot of the doctors are now prescribing this to women, even if they're not in menopause, like, because they know the impacts it can have on cardiovascular health. And cardiovascular disease is the biggest killer in Africa.
Yes. It's in Europe too. You think it's cancer for women, breast cancer, uterus cancer, but it's not.
No.
It's cardiac.
Yeah, it is. So it's
there was actually a very famous doctor in Sweden, and she wrote in the biggest newspaper an article the other day, and she said that as we have this fear for the HRT, we will lose a whole generation of women earlier than we should.
That oh my God. Oh, that's quite impactful. Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know what's interesting over here is you talked about bioidentical, and there's a whole ton of different terminologies over there. And I don't know if it's different in Europe as it is over here. And so I just want to sort of like clarify what I've learned, and I'd love to know your feelings on this. Because I've been speaking to Dr. Louise Newson, who is a menopause expert in the UK, and she identifies like traditional HRT, which is not the horse urine one that I always talk, but like the traditional HRT that's available and regulated by our federal governments now as almost body identical, meaning that their bioelectrical structure is similar to what the body has. Whereas bioidentical over here in North America, and I think in England, means it is made by a non-regulated compound in pharmacy. And it can and it can be bought over the counter, online. I mean, and women do it. And they think that they're taking something natural and better for them than HRT, when in fact it's still a drug.
It is.
It may be less effective because it's not regulated. The dosage and the applications may not be absorbed into the skin as well as the prescribed, regulated one by your doctor. Is it similar over there in Sweden? The terminology?
Almost. We don't really have this compound thing. The bioidentical here in Sweden is regulated.
Okay.
And it's prescribed by the gynecologist.
The thing is
that the one thing we don't have in Sweden yet is the bioidentical progesterone.
Right.
So everyone buys it on internet. And the dosage, they don't know. So they do it by themselves. You can get it by a license, by your doctor. But in Sweden, I think the most common thing in a HRT, the most common thing is to take bioidentical estrogen, I mean the regulated one, and then have like, how do you call that? The thing you put up.
We could just leave it at that, Katarina. You know the thing that you put up? I'm doing too for anyone who's watching me now.
UVI.
I just rolled my eyes. I'm like, if I was someone who blushed, I would blush right now. Yeah. An IUD or
IUD, that's the thing. Yeah.
And and estrogen, unless you don't have your womb, uterus, wherever you're from, tomato, has to be with progesterone. Can you tell me what you know about progesterone only medication? Because that's confusing for women as well.
Like, when is it that only?
Why is there a circumstance when you would take progesterone only when chances are your estrogen is one of the things that's going to be impacted? So do you know?
Yes, I do. Actually, it's like the first hormone that decreases in your body.
It is
the progesterone. So of course you can manage with the progesterone cream that is all over the world, and you can buy it on internet and blah blah blah. Here in Sweden, the gynecologists, they don't say that it's bad for you to take the cream, but they say that the dosage for the women is not like known.
There's no quality controls over it.
No, they haven't studied it too well, so they do not want women to take that. But I understand, and I have also taken progesterone cream when I couldn't like manage with only life training and eating right food and blah blah blah. But then you come to a point, and I think that happens for everyone, then you come to a point when that is not sufficient.
Yes.
You feel that it's something more. You
yes.
need something more. And then you have to get the estrogen. The
yes.
thing is with the progesterone cream, it is not sufficient to take in an HRT therapy. You cannot use the cream for the uterus so it doesn't thicken.
Yes.
The cream is something you experiment on your own before
yep.
you go on HRT.
And I understand that women often take it when the first stages of perimenopause are happening and they
yes.
may have some severe
yes.
PMS symptoms and stuff, but it's,
yes.
it's sort
yes.
of a treatment that can help ease those symptoms, but it's not sort of considered to be like the treatment for
no.
menopause and stuff. And so it's really interesting
no.
because when I've spoken to, I was referred back to Louise Newson, she said something really great to me, and it was that like I said, I'll caveat that I don't take HRT, but I did struggle at times to keep my lifestyle factors on track.
Yeah.
And I know these things like inside out, like I live and breathe them every single day. And I was
yes.
challenged with them. I was challenged with them when it came to things like fatigue and lack of enthusiasm, to say the least, or not wanting to eat well, and you know, and my sleep was impacted.
I know.
Blah blah blah. And what she and we know that those things directly impact our health and for longevity and for overall health. We need to have those all lined up, those ducks in a row. And what HRT can do is actually allow that to happen. It makes those things
yes.
easier to achieve. And so.
Yes.
The way I like to talk about menopause is that like anything you do can be done in conjunction with your doctor. Any
yes.
any treatment that you take, you can enhance that so much more as well by doing these different changes and these small changes. And usually they're really small changes to lifestyle
yeah.
factors. And you hopefully you'll sort of like be able to sort of like whiz through the whole thing. Because for me, it was just such a shit show. I learned it all in retrospect, which is how I can write a book. You know, it's empirical.
Yeah, same for me. Yeah.
It's empirical evidence.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. For me, it started when I was 42, 43. I'm 50 now. And
my God, looking good,
yeah.
darling. Looking good.
Thank you. Actually, 51 soon.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Maybe it's the HRT doing it.
You know, that extra collagen production from the
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah.
And so what's next for you then? So you launched the book in September, I believe.
Yes.
And so what's been happening with you since you wrote the book? And what's the type of feedback you're getting?
In Sweden, I had a lot of media. I think that as it was this, I came in the exact time when this hype started. So I was really lucky. It was only luck. I mean, it's not something that I think has to do, whatever. But
Don't downplay it. No.
Yeah,
no.
You saw that I did that. No, but I think that I had a lot of media in Sweden, and it still continues 3 months after my release. I still get interviews, and I've been... they mentioned me in Daily Mail, and I'm talking to you, and it's suddenly also starting to...
She just mentioned me in the same breath
yeah,
as the Daily
I
Mail.
I did, Amanda. It's
no,
starting
I know.
To happen also
yes.
in the English-spoken world, as I,
yes.
as I also released it in English. But then also there is a big interest in other countries too.
Yeah.
To translate it to other languages. So
it's wonderful. Yeah.
yeah.
It's really wonderful.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so if anyone wants to buy this book for you, like from you, so I'm going to hold up again for those who are watching on Instagram, Perimenopower.
Thank you.
It's on Amazon, right?
Yeah. It is. It's on Amazon everywhere. And I saw, maybe that's because of Amazon, but you can find it on Walmart and you can find it in some other places too.
Yeah, great. And you know what? It's such an easy read for people. We were talking about this ourselves. We've both written stuff down and we've been out. The feedback we've got from our agents and publishers is like, you have to make it more simplistic. And it's not because they think people can't understand it. It's just that chances are we're going to retain the information better that way.
And the thing is that I don't mean people to feel like frustrated. I don't want to tell people that I'm a superwoman and I train 5 days a week and I only drink celery juice. That's not the thing. I'm a normal woman, just like everyone. I sometimes drink and I get a very bad hangover right now in the menopause. I do bad stuff, but I don't want to look like, oh, wow, this perimenopause woman. I'm just as you are.
No, and that's, to me, that's like, I think that's why I really liked connected with you, because I get really frustrated when I see those women out there that are like they're pro-aging, which I'm all about, but yeah. It's just like, it's not positive shit all the time. Let's just keep things real. Let's just talk about things as they actually are, instead of sugarcoating it. I have no time for that.
No, neither have I.
No, and it doesn't mean it doesn't mean that things are dire and that things can't be good. Not at all. But unless you're realistic about what's happening, you're going to get hit with a big wet fish in the face.
Yeah.
So people are just commenting on the Instagram live, or on saying, thank you for doing this, and it's been really helpful advice.
Oh, I'm happy.
I'm really glad that you know, what we've spoken about today was helpful. I may have you back on the show because I think we could go deeper into this as we carry on, Katarina. Yeah. Let's just keep talking.
Let's talk again.
There's a lot more information we need to share. For me, the valuable part of the talk today was, if we can reduce the fears of HRT for women, and if we can help them know that that's a valid option, that's safe, and that is something that can actually improve their quality of life, because quality of life to me is huge. If you don't have that, then it can just feel like miserable waking up every day, and it's so difficult to carry on with any aspect of your life. Yeah. Right. So
as I finish as the last lines in my book, this is the life you get. It is not a rehearsal. Please do the best you can.
Yeah, there you go. It's not a rehearsal. Exactly. And somebody on the Instagram has just said she's going to embrace menopause, or at least try to. And that's a great.
Oh, I'm so happy.
It's great. Yeah. And go into it with education, with a positive attitude. And when things go pear-shaped, because they're going to, don't give up, because there's solutions out there. There's communities out there. Like I always tell people, get into my Facebook group. It's called Menopausing So Hard. There's 1,200 women in there at the moment. It's growing rapidly every day. And it's just a community where people can have accountability. They can ask questions. Yeah. They can bitch. They can moan. I have no rules. Just get in there and come over and talk. Follow people on your social media feed that really do support what's happening to you right now. I have completely curated my feed so it looks beautiful. There's nobody on there that makes me feel bad about myself, that only gives me education. And so just take the time to find those people in your life.
Great, Amanda.
Well, I'm going to sign off the podcast now. So thank you very much for coming on the show, Katarina. Thank you. And good luck with the book.
Yeah, you too. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on my services, head over to my website at fitandchips.com. That's like fish and chips, FITNCHIPS.com. Or you can head over to my Fit and Chips Facebook page too. If you leave me a comment or if you contact me, I promise I'll do my best to respond to all of your questions. The views and advice expressed by myself in this show are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always go straight to your doctor. Take care. Love you. Bye.